Steve Ashburner joining us, senior writer at NBA.com, covered the NBA draft and is taking some time. We appreciate you joining us here, Steve. Give us a perspective nationally what you thought of this trade.
Well, you know, my first instinct was it's about time. I mean, this is a necessary commitment by the Bulls to a rebuilding situation, overdue, frankly, in my opinion. But, you know, the question was, okay, should they pursue that with Jimmy or without Jimmy? And, you know, the two things arguing against having Jimmy Butler stay, because clearly they would need to replace the kind of scoring and the kind of defensive aptitude and inclinations that he has. But the two arguments against it, you know, one, by the time you rebuild, he's going to be out of sync with the roster if it's going to require an infusion of youth. And then, you know, do you commit and do you pay him potentially a Supermax contract upwards of $200 million? And, you know, the other thing is just you needed the assets. You needed, if you didn't have Jimmy, you wouldn't have three players coming in. Now, you know, are those three guys going to be in some as good as Jimmy Butler? It's hard to say, you know, quantity versus quality. But it's almost like if they kept Jimmy Butler around, I almost didn't trust Bulls management to commit 100% to a rebuild.
And it's interesting you bring that up, too, because, you know, we were kind of talking about this at the beginning of the show. And the thing that got me a little riled up about the trade myself was that, you know, I don't know if they got what they could have gotten for him. And then to go ahead and just kind of get rid of that second round pick for what amounted to be, I think, $3.5 million rather than another, as you point out, asset. It just made me wonder. And the players that they got for Jimmy Butler, too, are players that they already have, that they traded for last year when they got rid of McDermott and Taj Gibson.
Yeah, well, didn't they throw a draft pick into that deal, too?
I think they did. You
know, they did. Yeah. They did.
I got to go back and check that.
I think you're right.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it seems odd, you know, for casual NBA fans, they don't put a lot of emphasis on second-round picks. You know, Adam Silver takes off. He hands it off to Mark Tatum. You know, we don't pay that much attention. But the fact is, you know, the good teams find a way to wring something out of that second round. The Bulls have done it in the past. I mean, Jimmy Butler was the 30th pick, which is darn near the second round. And for them, just to have a little alarm go off, that if Golden State wants to buy your pick because they have their eye on somebody, maybe we'll take that guy instead. And, you know, that would have been, to me, a way. You've got to keep as many of those assets around. I hate the term, I guess, but, you know, it's just an easy catch-all. Anything you can have to bring in people, bring in players with the potential that somebody's going to stick, because that's really what the mode the Bulls are in now. They're throwing a bunch of stuff at the wall to see what sticks. They almost don't want too much to stick too soon so they can get high draft picks for a couple of years.
So, Steve, knowing that they were going to rebuild, they spent an awful lot of money on D. Wade. Dwayne Wade is going to be in the Hall of Fame, but right now they're paying this guy $24 million. I mean, am I, as a fan, allowed to look back and say, why the hell did you give D. Wade all that money?
Yeah, you are. I mean, you know, obviously that was an option for him to opt in. They didn't have any control over it, except they did last year. Now, you know, they were in a different mode last year, and you can be, I think, legitimately critical of Bulls management for, you know, biding time for last year and what seemed likely to be this year, too. It just didn't it never seemed to make a lot of sense with the fit of Fred Hoiberg with the roster that they assembled with Rondo and Wade and Jimmy, you know, starting last season. That just didn't make sense the way that Fred wanted to play. But to get Wade, to keep those seats filled, I think, and to generate buzz, you know, they had to overpay. They gave him his golden parachute contract, even though he hadn't done the service for them. He'd done it for Miami. So, yeah, it's legit to say, well, that was a mistake then. And you could tell in John Paxson's voice and in his words on Thursday night, you know, they would have loved for Dwayne Wade to have held off before opting in so that oh, wait a minute, Jimmy's not going to be here either. Maybe I will go elsewhere. That was a long shot, though. I mean, he left Miami for money, and the idea that he was going to leave that kind of money on the table, really hard to believe. I think, you know, now the question is, can he be professional for as long as he has to put up with this rebuilding mode and get to a point deep into the season, say, where they buy out, you know, the final portion of the deal and he can go, you know, play another spring with LeBron or something.
Steve Ashburner, the senior writer for NBA.com, joining us here on The Beat. And you mentioned the name Fred Hoiberg, and I wonder now what the expectations are for him, you know, because obviously last year they wanted to win with the team that they tried to assemble, and now you've got a bunch of little – you got pieces kind of scattered all around here. Is his big job now, and I guess in the eyes of Gar Pax, that he's going to be able to develop some of these guys? Is that what they're going to be looking for him to do?
Well, I guess that'll be the tug of war, right? If players develop under Fred, well, then, you know, then Gar and John, you know, made shrewd picks and rounded up the right guys. And if players don't develop under Fred, well, either the players they acquired are not the right guys or, you know, Fred's not developing them. So, you know, this move buys the front office more time. It buys the coaching staff more time. If they win a game, well, what the heck? You know, what a bonus. It's a sign of the future.
A bonus.
And if they lose a game, hey, it's serving our purposes. We're getting, you know, better odds for the lottery. So, you know, the people that really lose in this are, you know, anybody on the Bulls roster that really wants to go out and win this coming season, and the fans, because, I mean, they're stuck going along for the ride. The Minnesota Timberwolves won big by getting exactly what they need in Jimmy Butler. And, you know, the front office of the Bulls and the coaching staff, they've got less pressure on them now than they've had the last, you know, several years.
Right, but as a fan, I'm sick of this cycle of being just good enough to not get a lottery pick. And I'm glad, like you said when you started this interview, I'm glad that they made the move. Right. They had to do something. Zach LaVine, he's got a tear, as most Bulls fans know by now. He's got that tear, that ACL tear in his left knee. When is a realistic date to expect him back on the floor?
I don't think there's any rush. I mean, I understand fans eager to see, you know, the full bounty of what they reap for Jimmy Butler. But, I mean, two things working against a quick return are you don't want him to rush back. And typically, you know, most people in the NBA say it takes a full calendar year before a guy is really feeling, you know, fully recovered and able to do what he used to do. And even if they brought him back and he was ahead of schedule, well, you know, win a few extra games, well, then you're going to slide down in next June's lottery. So, or next May's lottery for the June draft. So, you know, what I do hear is that he is ahead of schedule. He's healing quickly. His rehab has gone totally according to plan. I saw quotes from Karl Anthony Towns saying, you know, he's been working out with him in Minneapolis. And he says that Jack is, you know, doing great, looks fine. So, you know, whether he's available to start the season or whether they take a cautious approach and push it a month or two or three, I don't think that's anything you want to mess with, given the Bulls' history with ACLs. And you might as well be patient, because a few months of Zach LaVine waiting on him is nothing compared to several years of waiting on this team to get the traction it needs.
Steve Ashburner, the senior writer for NBA.com, joining us here on The Beat on 720 WGN. You know, Steve, I kind of thought last year that they did themselves a disservice by not doing what they're doing now last year. I thought there was no benefit whatsoever for them to make the playoffs last year, just because, okay, yeah, it's great your team makes the playoffs, but again, they lose in the first round. I think they're a year behind. They should have found a way to make this deal with Jimmy Butler happen last year. It would have been with the same team.
No, I agree. I mean, you know, and I think I said earlier, too, that this is overdue. Last year would have been, you know, a good time to do it. I mean, before that, you know, I've seen situations where you bring an inexperienced head coach in and he's mismatched with the roster. I mean, they were trying to, you know, go deeper into the playoffs with the roster they had when Fred was new to this team. And, you know, when I was in Minnesota, they tried to do that. They hired Dwayne Casey to come in after Flip Saunders had been there. Dwayne Casey was new to head coaching, and it was just a mismatch. I mean, Fred would have been, you know, as a rookie coach, you expect to have a roster like Minnesota had 2 years ago or Orlando had 2 years ago. And, you know, he took over a team that had established veterans, kind of a salty locker room, and, you know, that was an issue. And then last year you saw what happened with the some of the locker room shenanigans. And so, you know, they've sort of been at cross purposes now for 2 years. Look, I give them whatever you want to call it, sympathy, understanding. The Derrick Rose injury streak, you know, really turned this franchise sideways, and they've had to deal with that, and that blew up their plans. But, you know, you've got to be more proactive. And you know, the fact that we're criticizing them for selling off second-round picks, it's really come to that. I mean, they don't have much margin for error anymore, and if this rebuild doesn't take in, you know, 3-4 years, then I think, you know, you're really looking at a clean house situation, because who could trust, you know, another crossroads with the same management approach?
Right. Ash, if I can call you Ash, before we let you go,
yeah.
They say politics makes strange bedfellows. So do NBA blockbuster trades. Can you believe that after the way he was kicked out of town, Tom Thibodeau was so cordial with Gar and Pax in getting this deal done?
Well, I wasn't privy to the conversations. I know that Thibodeau hired a pretty smooth operator in Scott Layden, and it wouldn't surprise me if Scott was not involved in some of those conversations as well, just to make sure that some old skeletons didn't come out of the closet. But it's as Paxson said, I mean, it is a sort of a big boys league. I mean, 2 years down the road, you've got to be able to talk with people. Now, I just saw on that ESPN 30 for 30 on the Celtics and the Lakers, Pat Riley talks about how even to this day it's been tough to talk to Danny Ainge and Larry Bird, you know, who also have run, at least Bird until recently, have run ball clubs. And you think they have business to do here in a new century, and they still have old wounds from 30-some years ago. So, you know, maybe it is a little bit surprising. I guess the real key is that the Bulls have delivered to Minnesota and Tom Thibodeau exactly what that team needs. And, you know, a savvy veteran still in his prime who plays both ends of the floor hard, who knows how to finish games because he can dominate the ball and get that done. That's exactly what the Timberwolves needed last year. I'll bet they're in the playoffs this year, and they will have the Chicago Bulls to thank.
You can follow Steve Ashburner at Ash, A-S-C-H-N-B-A on Twitter, Ash N-B-A on Twitter. And, Steve, we really appreciate you taking some time here on the Saturday to join us.
Good talking with you guys.